Our first reading for the fourth Sunday of Lent comes from the second book of Chronicles, chapter 36, verses 14 to 16, and verses 19 to 23. At this time, stop the podcast and read those passages from your Bible. The book of Chronicles presents a mini history of the chosen people. The first book of Chronicles deals with the story of the chosen people from Adam to Jacob. The second book, which today's passage comes from, deals with the people from the time of King David through the Babylonian captivity. This passage today comes from a section of Chronicles entitled The End of the Kingdom. The basic pattern throughout the history of the chosen people has always been the same. They sin. They refuse to live up to their part of the covenant with God. Pleas are made from prophets to return to the old promised ways, but the people continue to sin. There is divine punishment meted out by God, but God relents and gives the people another chance. In today's passage, we learn that the Persian king Cyrus was moved by God and inspired to let the chosen people return home. They returned home to a destroyed kingdom, and the rebuilding process would soon begin. This passage shows us that God will use anyone or any means to get his message to his people. As an interesting side note to the first reading, you will notice that you did not read verses 17 or 18 in the passage today. We read in the lectionary that the omission of verses in readings from scriptures has at times been the tradition of many liturgies, including the Roman liturgy. Admittedly, such omissions may not be made lightly for fear of distorting the meaning of the text or the intent and style of Scripture. Yet, on pastoral grounds, it was decided to continue this traditional practice in the order of readings, but at the same time to ensure that the essential meaning of the text remained intact. One reason for the decision is that otherwise some texts would have become unduly long. It would also have been necessary to omit completely certain readings of high spiritual value for the faithful, because those readings include some verse that is pastorally less useful or that involves truly difficult questions. As mentioned, such decisions are not made lightly. No one can add a word or a verse to Scripture simply because it is their personal preference. Our New Testament reading for the fourth Sunday of Lent comes from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. At this time, please read the passage in your Bible. Ephesus was the chief center of Asia Minor, what is today known as Turkey. This city was the center of trade and culture. Because of its location and importance to the known world at that time, the city was always conquered, always rebuilt. Paul today is writing to the Christians in Ephesus on a preventative medicine basis. He is letting the Christians know that they should avoid temptation by contemplating on praying to Jesus, our Messiah. He stresses in this passage that we don't have to earn grace. It is a gift freely given. God's favor and life is ours for the taking if we truly want it. The Gospel reading for the fourth Sunday of Lent comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the verdict, that the light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come towards the light, so that his works might not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The passage today begins with a conversation with Nicodemus that was begun in verse 2, and we pick it up today in the middle of the conversation. Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin, the supreme council for the Jews in both religious and civil matters. He comes to Jesus at night in the darkness because he's afraid to be seen with Jesus. In verse 14, we read that Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert. In their Exodus journey to the Promised Land, the people were suffering death by snake bites. Moses was told to build a bronze serpent and mount it on a pole, and anyone who looked at the serpent and wanted to be healed would be relieved and recover from their snake bite. Jesus is referencing this passage from their tradition by saying that he too must be lifted up, so that everyone who looks at him and believes may have eternal life. Lifted up has two meanings in Hebrew. One, to literally lift up, and second, to exalt. Through his death on the cross, Jesus brings both of these meanings together. He is lifted up to be exalted or honored. In verse 16, we read that those who believe might have eternal life. Eternal life has two meanings. It not only refers to the duration one lives, but also the quality of life that one lives. In verse 19, we read that people prefer darkness to light. As was mentioned in Paul's letter to Ephesus, eternal life is already ours. Our efforts don't earn any more grace than what God can give. But it is through our wickedness, our living in the dark, that we can lose this grace. The cross was the symbol of the most horrible death imaginable at that time. But through the power of God, through the raising of his Son, that cross becomes the source of our redemption and a symbol of salvation. But this will only happen when we look at the cross and believe God will heal us from the bite of sin. How do we know beyond doubt that God truly loves us and wants us to be healed? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. He gave us the best gift he had to offer to show us the breadth and width of his love for us. No matter how often we fall because of darkness, like our ancestors, God cannot rest until all his wandering children, diseased by sin, return home. As St. Augustine said, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us to love. We can love the darkness of sin and unbelief, or love the light, the truth, the beauty, the goodness that is God. We can live in the shadows or rejoice in the light. What we love shows what we prefer. God does not force us to look upon the cross and believe. We do this with an open heart and trust in him. This is Deacon Mike. If you have any questions concerning the scripture readings, please contact me at mkojancic@youngstowndiocese.org. Until next time, live the word.